Hallelujah. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's say that together. Ready? Read. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to highlight that word gives, because as we said last week, just briefly in an introduction of this, and when we talked about Thanksgiving victory, that word gives is a present tense continuum, a present tense. Now, the King James says giveth, which in the Greek word is the tense of that verb means it's a continual giving, but it's also present tense giving when you need it. When you need victory, before you experience victory, God gives you the victory. But thanksgiving is preceding that or connected to that. Come on now. Praise God. Hallelujah. Everybody say it with me again. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Same concept, but different verse. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Same tense where it says always leads us is a present tense continuum. That means he always is ready to lead you to triumph, even before you are triumphant and that situation may be tragic. He leads you into triumph, but it's tied to thanksgiving and it's connected to triumph. Who always leads us into triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. And we said it before that thanksgiving we see in these two powerful verses are connected to victory and triumph. The inference and the implication that are it's not that just thanks or thanksgiving after victory or after triumph, but also before. Many people wait until the new that shows up or the manifestation of this or that shows up before they give thanks. But there's a key here that we need to unlock, that thanksgiving is connected to victory, connected to triumph, but not just after it's manifest, but also before it manifests. There is power and much untapped power in thanksgiving. So we ask the big question. We got it from our instructor at Rainbow Bible Training College that he was told by the Lord, and he told us that it applies the same to us today. The Lord asked Reverend Keith Miller, he said, Keith, do you want to know how to increase your capacity to receive from me? So the question we asked last week, how do we increase our capacity to receive from God? And Brother Keith answered the Lord directly. He didn't hesitate or delay. He's just waiting before the Lord. And he said, yes, and yes, please. I want to know how to receive. How many of you know receiving from God is not based on God's power or capability to give to you? Your capacity to receive from God is based on your faith to receive from him. Because you can limit your capacity to receive from God. You can restrict or hinder your capacity to receive from God. But he told him, you want to know how do you increase your capacity to receive from God? And this was the answer, and it's still the answer today. Cultivate a lifestyle of thanksgiving. Every word is pregnant with revelation. Cultivate. Everybody say cultivate. A lifestyle of thanksgiving. So that's what we're going to enter into and introduce to you today is thanks living. How do we live thankfully? How do we keep our thankful and tank full of thanks? Now, again, just to remind you that the lack of thanksgiving and being unthankful is a limiting factor in our receiving from God. Psalm 78, verse 40 through 43, Psalm 78, 40 through 43, it says, how often they provoked him in the wilderness, and they grieved him in the desert. Yes, again and again, they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power the day they were redeemed from the enemy, when they worked, when he worked his signs in Egypt and his wonders in the field of Zoan. See, the children of Israel provoked and grieved God. Unfortunately, we can do the same today. So sometimes we think we're mad and miserable, but God's provoked by our going off the reservation, by being ungrateful and unthankful to him. And we think that he can't give us victory, or he can't give us triumph in our troubles. What provoked and grieved the Lord specifically? Their consistent and constant complaining and murmuring about their current conditions and circumstances. Secondly, their rebellion, their disobedience, their being ungrateful and unthankful caused them to limit God, the will of God, and God's will and his work in their lives. So they forfeited his development and their destiny in their lives. See, Egypt was a type of deliverance. Salvation. But they didn't appreciate what God did to save them and deliver them. 10 times he told them, I've shown you my power. And you still complaining in your tents. You still at the house mumbling and grumbling. Come on now. So that was a type of deliverance. So we have been delivered in Christ. We have been saved through from the wrath to come and from defeat. Death, hell, and the grave through Christ. But too many Christians walk around grumbling and mumbling and stumbling. Grumbling means they're griping about everything. Mumbling and murmuring means they're complaining about everything. And stumbling means they're offended at everything. So I just want to give you context of my statement here. So don't be grumbling, mumbling, and stumbling as a Christian believer. Because it will provoke the God, and really what he gets really irritated at is he can't bless you the way he wants to. He can't do miracles in your life the way he wants to because you've limited him. Excuse me, there's two things you need to in your understanding about Thanksgiving. We said it last week. The two things that need to be included in your Thanksgiving is that you remember and you value. Everybody say it with me, remembering and valuing. So in the wilderness, the children of Israel did not remember his works. They didn't remember his power. They didn't remember the miracles of yesterday. And in their case, it was recent. It was very recent. They forgot what he did in Egypt. They forgot what he did to bring them out. And they forgot what he was doing in the wilderness to develop their faith. Wilderness is a type of development. So some people hate hard stuff, hard times. We're in perilous times. So get over yourself. We got to endure hardship as Jesus Christ served soldiers, the Bible says. Praise the Lord. And so we can't get hung up on all the headaches and heartaches we go through. We got to just get thankful and say, thank you, Lord. This is another opportunity for you to get the glory in and through my life. Thank you, Lord. This is another opportunity for you to prove your word true on my behalf. Thank you, Lord. This is another opportunity for you to get the glory in this situation because of my faith and trust in you. Thank you, Lord. Because you know that thanks be to God, he's going to always bring you what? The victory. He's going to always lead you into what? Triumph. No matter how bad the trouble is, he's going to lead you into triumph. You got to remember and you got to value what the Lord, who the Lord is, what he's done, particularly through his death, burial, and resurrection. And you got to value what he can do. And so all you say is those three powerful words. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen. See, this place of being unthankful limited God's work in and through them. They didn't remember. They didn't remember. Now, unthankfulness is a sign also of these perilous times, end times. 2 Timothy 3:1 and 2. But know this, that the last days, perilous times will come. It says, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. You see that all happening today. But look at this, right in the middle of all that, it says what? Unthankful, unholy. And I had the Lord just kind of enlighten me a little bit and says, unthankfulness is connected to unholiness. Now, some people think they're holy when they're all pious and pouty and got their mouth out and self-pity and pouting. That's not holiness. Everybody who's a Christian should be becoming and gradually more thankful every year, every month. Not growing more bitter and bothered, but growing more thankful and grateful. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Because that's a sign of the times. All right? What unthankful living and ungrateful living, ungrateful lifestyle does. What does it do? Well, it darkens. You need to take a note of this, because this is the opposite of thanks living. It's unthankful living and ungrateful lifestyle. It darkens and dulls our spiritual understanding and comprehension of spiritual things and truths. It always amazed me, particularly as a pastor, that I know Christians that have been in the faith, been in Christ for years, decades even, and they still can't figure out what God wants them to do. Well, what's going on there? Well, one big indication from the scripture is that they're unthankful. And they're ungrateful for what God has them doing. Because, see, some people always want to know the end game. What's my big outcome? What's my big day? That's really selfishness and pride. But you do what the Lord wants you to do today and be thankful for what he has you doing today. Your responsibilities, your role, your place, your grace, your rights, your privileges right now in Christ. Be thankful for what you have. And God used the analogy of a car. Be thankful for the car you have so you can increase your capacity to get a better car or newer car. Some people are unthankful for what they have now. And so what that does is that darkens and dulls your understanding. Now, here's the scripture. I'm glad you asked. Romans chapter 1. Now, read Romans chapter 1 and study Romans chapter 1 and 2 sometimes, and you'll see what God's talking about. And look at this. Because although they knew God, because some people have been around for decades in Christ. Decade is 10 years. 10 years or more in Christ. And why do they get seemingly dumber and dumber in spiritual truths? They can't pray. They don't know how to pray. They don't know how to get answers from God. They don't know how to talk to God. They don't know how to use their faith. Look at this. Because they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. See, God has praise due unto his name. You read Psalms 29. It says give him the glory due to his name. See, your praise is due. Listen to me, sisters and brothers. Your praise is due every day. But some people are praise misers. They're not praiseaholics. They're praise misers. Praise is when we get into praise, talking about praise. Praise is just not listening to music. It's being the music and making the melody to your heart, from your heart to the Lord. Some people are praise misers. Your praise is got a deficit. But tied to that, your thanksgiving is got a real big deficit. Look at this. They did knew God. They did not glorify him as God, nor were they what? Come on, church, say it with me. Nor were they what? Nor were they what? That means we're expected to. Now, we talked about the story of the 10 lepers. Jesus told, where are the other nine? Because he's expecting the other nine to be thankful that you prayed for me, Lord, that you cured me and healed me of my leprosy. But the other nine, and I would say it this way because this is the way I look at things analytically, so forgive me for looking at it this way. But to me, 90% of Christians are on the deficit side of Thanksgiving. 90% are praise misers. They got praise debt that's still not given. They were unthankful, and they became what? Futile in their thoughts. They say stuff like, well, I don't know. I don't feel right. I don't feel God. I don't feel like God is with me right now. I don't know what God wants me to do. What is that? Futile in their thoughts. And foolish, and their foolish hearts were what? Darkened. He's talking to Christians. He's talking to people like you and me who are born again, believers and Christ followers. And how are we getting more darker and duller? And then that whole thing comes, I don't care. I don't care if I give thanks or not. I just want to walk around grumbling, mumbling, and stumbling. What does it also do? It causes the blessings to be blocked or stopped in our lives. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 47. I'm reading off the board. Thank you, guys. Appreciate you. Because they did not serve the Lord, your God, with joyfulness of mind and heart, in what? Gratitude. Everybody say gratitude. Gratitude. And gratitude for the abundance of all that which he has blessed you with. You know, you're blessed just to serve God and volunteer in church. Amen. It's a blessing to do one thing for God. But some people are ungrateful and not joyful, and that disqualifies the blessings, and it puts a blessing blocker or a blessing stopper in it. Now, I'm going to talk about it more next week. And some people think, well, I deserve to be healed. I deserve to be blessed because I tithe and give. Well, you don't deserve that. You don't deserve it because of that. Amen. That I deserve is a bad phrase that should come up. That comes up in your heart or your mouth, out of your mouth, in your mind. When you think I deserve something, that's pride. You basically fulfill this verse. And because you did not serve the Lord with your what? With joyfulness. In mind and heart, in gratitude for the abundance of all which he has blessed you. Now, go up a few verses above that. We're not going to go there today. But it says all these blessings, all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Sometimes Christians stumble with sickness, poverty, and lack because they're unthankful and ungrateful for the opportunity they have to serve God. They don't get up in the beginning of the week and say, oh, look, thank you, Lord. There's so many people I know. Who do you want me to pursue and fish for you and bring them into the kingdom? No, I don't know why the pastor's always asking us to invite people to church. They're unthankful and ungrateful for the opportunity to pray about even their neighbors. They walk past their neighbor's house, hadn't prayed for them in weeks. Or some cases, never. I don't like those neighbors. They loud, rowdy. They ruckus. Amen. Y'all praise. Y'all still here? Y'all gone home. Some people complain about the chores that they have to do around the house. The meals they have to cook. The people they have to help. The people they may have to watch. You got to watch this stuff. Because you get an attitude of ingratitude, you can block your blessings. You can stop your blessings. Somebody say, praise the Lord. All right? It can cause destruction. Now, let's look at, I'm going to read out of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 through 10. So this is what unthankful living or ungrateful lifestyle does. Look at verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Everybody say, I'm there, Pastor. Okay, I got one. Let's wait a few seconds. Get everybody there. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Moreover, brethren, I want... Everybody say, I'm there. I'm there. Okay, moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware of all of our fathers that were under the cloud who passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud of the sea. And they all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them. That rock was Christ. Everybody said, my rock and their rock is Christ. So you got to think about my rock is Christ. But most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our example, to the intent that we should not lust after things that they've lusted. So that's one thing we shouldn't do. Everybody said, I shouldn't do that. All right, verse 7, and they became idolaters, and some, as were some, and it was written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Everybody say, I shouldn't do that. All right, verse 9, nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them have did, and one day died, 23,000 fell. Everybody say, I shouldn't do that. All right, number 9, verse 9, and nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of the serpents, by the serpents. Everybody say, I shouldn't tempt Christ. All right, now listen, verse 10. Verse 10 is where I key in on. Nor complain, as some of them also complained. Now, if you go back and run reference to it in Numbers, where did they complain? Did they complain in church? No, they complained in their tents. They complained at the house. We always said this, there's no such thing as inconsequential words. When you complain at the house, it still affects you outside of the house and in the house. When you complain at the house, it still affects you inside the house and outside the house. He said that it's a complaint, and they were destroyed by the destroyer. Now, could you invoke and provoke your own destruction? Absolutely. By complaining. We should all have a no complaint policy that we live by at the house and in any house. Now he said in verse 11, now all these things happened to them as examples, as they were written for our admonition, upon whom the world, the ends of the ages have come. Now what does thanksgiving look like? We just told you what unthankfulness and unthankful living looks like and can cause. So let's flip the pancake and look at the good side of it, the God side of it. The God side is, I want you to live thankfully, to operate in a thankful lifestyle. So what does it look like? 1 Corinthians 5:18, Amplified Classic. Thank God in everything. Everybody say, in everything. No matter what the circumstances may be thankful and give thanks. For this is the will of God for you who are in Christ Jesus. What does God want us to be in every situation, in every circumstance, no matter what the circumstance, to what? To be thankful and to give thanks. So wherever I find myself in the middle of that moment, season, week, time, or hour, I should not become unthankful. Now, as we said before, there's no place or no space between being thankful or unthankful. None. So you can easily switch back and forth, but to be unthankful is not God's will, according to this verse. God's will is for you to be thankful. Unthankful is to be ungodly, ungodlike, and unholy in that middle of that situation. And God is limited in helping you. Praise God. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. For this is God's will, for you are in Christ Jesus, the revealer and mediator of the will. See, someone who gives thanks and is thankful no matter what the circumstances or situation may be. Because, you know, the tendency of the world culture is to tell people about my pain, my problem, the pressure I'm under. And I want to have a pity party, and I want to pout about it. And I want to invariably, indirectly accuse God for allowing this to happen to me. Amen. So sometimes we think we have an authorization to gripe, to grumble, to complain, and remain in that pitiful state. Someone who realizes and remembers whatever is going on and whatever is going wrong, if the appropriate response is what? Come on, church, give me the appropriate response. Everybody say it. Three words. Thank you, Lord. And give thanks. Yeah, this broke down. Yes, this got busted. Yeah, this financial tragedy came in on the scenery of my life. Thank you, what? Don't go fussing and cussing, grumbling, mumbling, and stumbling. You're going to get yourself further outside of the will of God doing that. Amen. Amen. And so when he says this is God's will, that means he wants all of us as his children to act like that. Amen. Let's go to another verse. Thanksgiving. What does thanks living look like? Thanks living look like. Colossians 3:15. Amplified Classic again. I'm going to read several in the Amplified Classic, so keep it on that version in your device if you want to follow along. Colossians 3:15. And let the peace, soul harmony, which comes from Christ, rule and act like as an umpire, continuing in your hearts. How often? Continually. Everybody say continually. Deciding and settling and with finality all questions that arise in your minds. In that peaceful state, to that which as members of Christ, one body, you are also called to live. You're supposed to stay in peace, and you're supposed to stay in place. What's your place, sister? Your place is grace and faith. You get out of grace, and you get out of faith when you become unthankful. I mean, I see it as I'm studying this and going through this. Thanksgiving accesses grace. Victory comes from grace. Triumph comes from grace. Great thanksgiving is an accessor of grace, but thanksgiving is also your act of faith. We talked about it when Brother Hagin was receiving his healing. He said, if you believe you receive your healing, you would thank me for it. Most people aren't thanking him for the healing because they don't believe that they've received it or got it yet because they don't feel any better yet. So they're not thankful. They're waiting to see to believe instead of faith, receive, and believe. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He said, we call it, and he said, and be thankful. Everybody say, and be thankful. Here it is right here. And be thankful. And be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always. Someone who keeps the mind and heart at peace and allows the peace of God to rule and regulate the questions that arise in your minds. Now, I know the devil talks to more people than just me. I'm not the only, his main conversation. I got to get your attention somehow, right? But I know the devil talks to all of us. And it usually circles around these three things. Things you don't have, things you don't know, and things you can't do. So this verse tells us very clearly, my sister, don't ever ponder, think about, talk about, meditate on things you don't know. Things you don't have. And things you can't do. Because I was reminded by the Holy Spirit the other day. He said, when you do, you'll get darker and darker and duller. And you'll become disobedient by being unthankful. For what you do have, what you do know, and what you can do.
And so many Christians want to give up and quit. Why? I don't know. I don't know how. I don't know why I feel this way. I don't know why my miracle hasn't come yet. I don't know why the healing hasn't manifested yet. I don't know why it's taken so long. I'm just play acting now, keeping your attention, okay? Don't ever, I'll say it again, don't ever ponder on, think on, talk about, and meditate on. Everybody say it with me, things you don't have, things you don't know, things you can't do. That means some of us got to stay off Facebook a little bit long more because people are always showing what they have, what they're doing. How come we can't do that? How come we don't have that? Why do I say that? This is what the Holy Spirit told me. I'm just sharing what he told me, the Lord told me. He said, because first of all, you work against the peace of your mind. You become disquieted in your mind. Secondly, it causes you to become more cloudy, conflicted, and confused in your mind and your emotions. How come they can do that and have that? And how come we can't? How come they get away with that? You can't control what's happening in elections. It's not your job. You're not in that official capacity. Amen. So you're getting all worked up over what somebody did and messed up the votes or messed up the machines or messed up the ballots. Don't think about stuff you can't do. Amen. Hallelujah. And so this state of mind and attitude makes you unthankful and ungrateful. Instead of being grateful for all the words you have received, for all the blessings you've had received, for all the things that God has done for you in the past or in doing for you in the present, you become closed mouth and closed hearted and think. You know, as our dear brother from Florida, Brother Kyle, he used to always brought that word to us. Curmudgeon. You become a curmudgeon, which is basically someone who's mumbling, grumbling, and stumbling. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Ephesians 5:18-20. This is a Thanksgiving lifestyle. Many scriptures that reference it. I'm going to just give you a few today. Ephesians 5:18-20, Amplified Classic. It says, do not get drunk with wine. Everybody said, I'm not supposed to do that. All right. For that is debauchery, basically foolishness. But ever be filled and stimulate with the Holy Spirit. Speak out to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, offering praise with your voices and instruments, making melody all with all your heart to the Lord. Your heart's supposed to be making melody to the Lord. Amen. Amen. At all times and for everything, giving what? Thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father. It happens on the little things, should happen on the little things, even if you say, well, I don't really like that for dinner. Well, you're already unthankful. Now, the Bible says the food is sanctified when it's received with thanksgiving and prayer and the Word of God. You can't sanctify that food to your body for the nourishment and the energy that you need to carry out God's will in your life if you receive it, that food, unthankfully. Now, it's a shame that we only give thanks during one year time of the year for food at Thanksgiving. I know all of us don't do that, but sometimes it's just society. But he said every creature of God is good and good for food if it be received with thanksgiving. Amen. So, this is all I got to eat. Oh, this is all we got to eat. Oh, why'd you cook that? Woo! Y'all making me work real hard today. It's cold outside, but it's hot up here. Y'all making me work this hard. But it can be just as subtle as that. We're not thankful for what we're having for dinner. We're not thankful that somebody cooked us dinner or cooked us breakfast. And we take things for what? For granted. But really what it is, a big deal, is we close ourselves off from our capacity to receive more. My eggs are too runny. Get in a restaurant, you know, complaining about the food. Take it back. Take it back. Do it over. Get it back right. Get it back right. And so we think we have a right because we're paying for the food that we can complain. Oh, my goodness. Instead of thanks God beforehand, thank you, Father God. Looks like they're crowded today. The parking lot's full. Wait staff may be understaffed. I see the now hiring sign. Thank you, Lord, for good service. And even if it's not good service, we're going to be a blessing. We're going to eat. We're going to thank you for this food. We're going to bless the kitchen workers and the staff. And we're going to leave a good tip. We're going to double tip in Jesus' name. Don't punish people because they're working 10 tables. They can't give you all the service they need. Well, praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Somebody say glory to God.
Glory to God.
All right, Hebrews 13:15. Everybody good?
Yes.
Let's go back there. Okay, Lord. I'll go back to the house. Got to do chores. Got to do this. Got to pick up. Y'all always or never or this and that. And complain. What did we say before? I didn't originate it. If you complain, you what? Remain. If you praise, you be what? Raise. Hebrews 13:15. Through him, therefore, let us constantly at all times offer up to God sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of his lips, the lips that thankfully acknowledge and confess and glorify his name. Thankfully acknowledge. Thankfully acknowledge. How often? Every day. Every day you acknowledge God. Remember, we said thanksgiving is an accessor of grace. You need that every day. But thanksgiving is also an act of faith. Thanksgiving and being thankful is an integral part of our spirit-filled lifestyle. Giving thanks and being thankful is a big indicator of whether or not you're under the influence of the Holy Spirit. If you're not under the influence of the Holy Spirit, you're under the influence of perhaps another spirit, an ungrateful and unthankful spirit.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Philippians 2:14-15. Amplified class again. Philippians 2:14-15. Do all things without grumbling and fault finding and complaining. Everybody say no grumbling,
no
fault finding, and
no complaining.
So you see this in workplaces, particularly in myself. Somebody's always talking about, in our case, another agent who's not carrying their weight or not doing their job. A coworker that's not carrying their weight or doing somebody's always slacking and lacking, but not you. Because you're fault-finding. And you notice when somebody points the finger at somebody, how many fingers are pointed back to them? And I heard the Holy Spirit say this, when you point the finger of fault at someone else, you've got three times faults coming back to you. So some people have a habit of always pointing the finger and pointing out other people's faults and flaws. And you need to stop it. No one's arrived at perfection yet. Be thankful. Remember the good in them and value the person of them and the blood that Jesus shed for them. Value the blood that Jesus shed for them. Amen? Everybody say no grumbling,
no
fault finding, and
no complaining.
Against God and questions and doubts and doubting among yourselves. So some people I just don't believe in them. I don't believe they're good enough. And so they just count them off, mark them down as no good. He said that you will show yourself to be blameless and guileless and innocent and uncontaminated children of God, without blemish, faultless, unrebukable in the midst of a crooked and wicked generation, spiritually perverted and perverse, among whom you also are seen as bright lights, stars, or become shining out clearly in the dark world.
See, if you and I are going to be thankful and live a thankful lifestyle, this verse must resound and resonate with our hearts and minds. We shouldn't go to work or come home or go to the grocery store or go to the gas station, pay bills, cook, clean, do chores, come to church, etc., etc., grumbling, fault-finding, or complaining. We must live a no-complaint, complaining, no gossip, and no grumbling policy at all times. It's unacceptable and unauthorized to serve and worship and work for God and do serve each other and complain and grumble. We shouldn't give and gripe or complain doing it. We shouldn't serve and sacrifice and talk about how we're unhappy about it. See, our Lord is expecting us to be thankful, appreciative, value his word, value his will, value his work in our hearts and lives. Our Lord also expects us to be thankful and honorable and honor and value the precious people he places in our lives. See, our supernatural God-ordained relationships. See, we all have three dimensions in our relationship. We have relationships up, those over us in our Lord, like our preachers and pastors. And then, of course, those around us in the Lord, those are our peers and partners. And then those that Lord has entrusted into our care, those are our proteges. So you have your pastors, you have your peers and partners, and you have your proteges. But some people are unthankful for their pastors. You complain about too many emails, too many texts. Thank you for that pastor that will text you, amen, that will talk to you, amen, that will send you a note of encouragement, a word of encouragement. Amen. Amen. But some people haven't said thank you in months. Skip right over Pastor Appreciation Month without one thank you. Everybody's gotten quiet now. But he says, I'm talking about thanksgiving. You can't just take it for granted and drift into ungratefulness and unthankfulness. You don't know how many devils the pastor's chasing off your behind during the week in prayer. But we unthankful. How many hours are laboring in prayer and the word to bring you a word in due season? But you're unthankful. Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You got faith friends and partners in church, and you won't even connect with them and call on them when you need somebody to help take you to Jesus. So you want to live independent and isolated. Why? You're being unthankful and unappreciative of the power of a partner that can be in your life, a power of a peer. You want to go it alone. I want to do it by myself. The struggle is real, but I'm just going to do it by myself. That's wrong thinking and wrong attitude. Amen. Hallelujah. And then there's proteges, people that need help. I don't want to be bothered with nobody. I got my own problems. People need a hand up. People need a help out. I'm too busy. We're all supposed to be a disciple, and we're commissioned to make disciples. So who are you pouring yourself into? The only way you keep the joy of your salvation, friends, is that you give it away. One of the big ways, not the only way, one of the big ways to keep your joy. Some people are unhappy Christians because they're never giving their salvation away. And you've heard me say it before, and I'm getting ready to close.
Sometimes I don't try to go a week. I ask the Holy Spirit. I have a working agreement with the Holy Spirit. Don't let me go a week without inviting somebody to church. Don't let me go a week, Holy Spirit, without telling somebody about Jesus. And I got to the last minute yesterday. I said, Lord, come on, Holy Spirit. You got to help me. So I had an appointment yesterday, and I got to share about Jesus. And Jesus showed up in the house. And Jesus always shows up. And both of them subscribed to the YouTube. They were heading out of town. They said, we're going to log in. And they were so thankful for the time I spent sharing him in their house. Now, they gave us business, and they gave us gave me a big check, but we shared something bigger than the check they gave me, which was him. And you can see tears well up in their eyes and thankfulness come up in their heart that we got a chance to share the love of Jesus. But that's how you keep your joy, and that's how you become thankful. You don't just expect, I'm a Christian, just do it for me, God. Just I expect you to clean and cook and do all this stuff for me. Take it for granted. And we expect God to deliver us and heal us and bless us, and we won't do one thing he asked us. Amen. We got to be grateful that God is God. And God is good. They wouldn't let me out without talking to me about him. Somebody say glory to God. Somebody say hallelujah. And of course, yesterday I gave my last card, invite card. So I got to order some more invite cards. So, or I could get some more in my wallet. But I gave it to him. I don't know where your church is. Here. And what am I doing? Going home, at home. I'm praying, Lord. Lord, move upon that person's heart to make his way to the church. I know him. And my son knows him. And we know him. But now it's our faith in him. Lord, send laborers, God. Get him into the church. Somebody say, glory to God. But that's what being thankful is. Thank you, Lord, that I'm your very own child. You're my very own father. Come on now. Come on, stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'm your very own son or daughter. Thank you, Lord. I'm privileged to be a part of your kingdom. I'm privileged to be a part of your master plan. I'm privileged to be a part of what you're doing in the earth. Thank you, Lord, for the one opportunity to serve you and to serve your people and to serve your church, Father God. I thank you, Lord. I appreciate and value every moment, every hour, every time, every day that I can do things according to your will and according to your way. Thank you, Lord, that I get to serve you with gladness.